The next speaker, Aiden Delgado, is a U.S. Army Reserve soldier recently returned from combat duty in Iraq, including 6 months as a mechanic at the Abu Ghraib prison. After waiting a year, a U.S. citizen was granted conscientious objector status and honorably discharged. During his military duty, he was awarded 4 service medals. He is now attending a Florida Honors College, completing a degree in religion, and I can hardly wait to hear what he has to say. Aiden?
Good morning. My name is Aiden Delgado. I'm 23 years old, and I'm a veteran of the Second Iraq War. We're all here in the Capitol today to witness the inauguration of a president who has bitterly divided this nation. So many of us have so many grievances, veterans, mothers, fathers, students, workers. But I'm not here today to talk about the past, nor do I want to talk about an election that's already passed. We should be here to talk about the future and what is to be done rather than what has been done. I'm no orator. I'm just a former soldier, now a student. But as a former soldier who served in combat for 1 year in Iraq, served in Nasiriya and Abu Ghraib prison, I want to talk to you today about a few issues that are dear to me. For this grand inaugural celebration, private donors will spend some $40 million, in addition to $17 million that we will pay for the security of Washington, D.C. The money will come from wealthy supporters of President Bush, some of the largest names in business and industry, AT&T, Anheuser-Busch, Bank of America, ExxonMobil, Lockheed Martin, Pfizer, corporate giants, and wealthy single individuals. The very people who say they support the troops so much and wrap themselves in the flag of patriotism at every opportunity. Indeed, there will be military parades. There will be concerts for soldiers and all kinds of flag waving and speeches, thanking us soldiers for our sacrifice. I understand that one of the main themes of this year's celebration will be honoring service and saluting those who serve. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I serve. And let me tell you what all these great patriots could have done with their money. These few days of celebration will spend the equivalent of 5% of all the money that Congress has allocated for armored Humvees and trucks in the 2005 budget. With those $40 million, we could have up-armored over 690 Humvees. This is something dear to me because when I was a mechanic serving in the southern city of Nasiriya, I had to cut and bolt pieces of steel from an Iraqi junkyard to the underside of my vehicle to try and protect us from shrapnel and roadside bombs. We did this not because we wanted to, but because there weren't enough armored Humvees, and we did what we could. Or, with those $40 million, we could purchase 26,667 sets of body armor with ballistic plates, the same body armor that friends, parents, and relatives purchased with their own money to send to their sons and daughters overseas, when families did the job that the government should have done. We could buy 50,000 armor plates for bulletproof vests, something I know well because when I came to Iraq, I had no ballistic plates because there weren't enough. Or, failing that, if they didn't want to spend the money to protect the troops, they could triple the VA budget for soldiers who've lost a limb in Iraq and Afghanistan. These are the silent veterans, the ones whose names will appear on no honor roll and no official government list, the more than 10,000 veterans who have been seriously wounded in Iraq. The 2005 Veterans Affairs budget allocates $20 million for prosthetics and related care. Ladies and gentlemen, with those $40 million, we could triple it. What about the 300,000 veterans who are homeless in America today on any given night? What about the veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan who've lost their homes and their jobs? One-fifth of all Iraq veterans treated at the VA were diagnosed with mental disorders. One-fifth. What about the 250,000 veterans living in America diagnosed with psychosis and post-traumatic stress? What about them? They could spend this money to help those who sacrificed everything to serve their country and the men who rule it. They could have done all this, but they didn't. The administration likes to remind us that this is a time of war and that all of us must make sacrifices. Yet I see no sacrifices in the glamour and opulence of the presidential celebration. I see no sacrifices among those who rule, only among those who bleed. Today, patriotism has become an empty buzzword, a convenient cover for everything that we don't want to think about. True patriotism isn't waving a flag and putting a yellow ribbon bumper sticker on your car that says, "Support our troops." Patriotism isn't making empty speeches thanking the troops, while with the other hand, sending them off without armor into harm's way. Patriotism is not that. Patriotism is sacrifice. Sacrifice for others. Many have called President Bush a king or a tyrant, depending on your politics. But that's not so. In the words of Stephen Pressfield, I'll tell you what a king is. A king does not abide within his tent while his men die and bleed upon the field. A king does not dine while his men go hungry, nor sleep when they stand at watch upon the wall. A king does not command his men's loyalty through fear, nor purchase it with gold. He earns their love by the sweat of his own back and the pains he endures for their sake. That which comprises the harshest burden, a king lives first and sets down the last. A king does not require service of those he leads, but provides it to them. He serves them, not they him. That is a king. A king does not expend his substance to enslave men, but by his conduct and example makes them free. Ladies and gentlemen, these words do not describe our president. Thank you.